The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus, in like manner, evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' He said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" The Gospel of Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There was a certain rich man who dressed like royalty and had a banquet festival every single day, or rather, banquet festivals were his ordinary everyday life. Banqueting was how he lived. And there was a certain poor man who was so poor and so sick he couldn't even set up and beg any longer. So some kind friends placed him outside the rich man's gate, expecting that the rich man would show him some kind of charity, as Moses and the prophets teach that everyone must care for the poor as their own family members. But even though the rich man knew the name of the man outside his gate, he did not listen to Moses and the prophets, and he did not care for Lazarus. His dogs did, though. They kept Lazarus company outside the gate and bathed his wounds with their saliva, which was considered a medicine in the ancient world. The two characters died. Lazarus was carried up to be with Father Abraham and be comforted and cared for by him, and to rest upon his bosom at the great banquet of heaven, like the beloved disciple rested upon Jesus' bosom at the Last Supper in the Gospel of John. And meanwhile, the rich man was taken down to Hades to be tormented. He looked up and saw Lazarus resting on the bosom of Father Abraham and feasting, but did he repent? No. Did he understand the consequences for his actions? No. He asked Father Abraham to send Lazarus to serve him. Father Abraham refuses, trying to help the man understand. While you received your comforts in life, Lazarus now receives his comforts in death. Did the rich man understand even then how his choices in life had affected Lazarus? No, for the rich man then asked Father Abraham to send Lazarus like a page boy to warn his brothers, so that they will not be tormented likewise. And Father Abraham reminded him, they have Moses and the prophets to teach them, just as you did. They should listen to them. And the rich man, still unable to get the pointed hint, says in effect, but no one listens to Moses and the prophets. But to a warning about hell, oh, they'll listen. And Father Abraham replies, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, no one rising from the dead will convince them. The rich man and his brothers have everything they need in order to live a righteous life. They have all the information, all the resources they need to make faithful, well-informed choices. There is nothing that they lack. Not even a resurrection appearance can add to the wealth of information they have about how to live a good, faithful, righteous life. Yes, this rich man had it all. He had the financial resources, he had the teaching, and he even had the opportunity. But in the hands of this rich man, all that wealth and all that teaching count for nothing because he never put it into action to care for poor Lazarus. We never hear what kind of life Lazarus leads because the story isn't about earning your way into heaven. In the latter Jewish scriptures, entrance into heaven is a free gift granted to all the faithful. Rather, this story is about how the rich man failed to live a faithful life, even though he was fully informed about what that would involve. We also are fully informed. We also have Moses and the prophets and the Gospels and the epistles as well. We also inherit those instructions to care for the poor and the orphan and the widow and the stranger in the land. And we also are informed by Jesus' unrelenting commitment to the poor. We already have all the resources we need to live righteous lives. In this parable, the problem isn't the message. The problem is that people don't listen. One of the brothers at Teze commented to me this summer, "It's amazing how fixated some people can get about things Jesus never spoke about, while they completely ignore or allegorize things that Jesus clearly cared about very deeply and spoke about at length." This parable challenges us. How do we put our faith into action? Strikingly, it also tells us it's really not all that difficult. When I was younger, I used to feel that I could be an amazing Christian if I only went on a mission trip to Africa, if I only took vows of poverty and service and became a nun, if only I could devote my life to the poor, then I could be an amazing Christian. And in a beautiful, highly dramatic way, I longed for an opportunity to be that kind of Christian. But like the rich man, God places into our own lives and our ordinary circumstances opportunities for us to put our faith into action. We don't need to go on a mission trip. We don't need to dedicate our lives. Every life that we live is full of opportunities for us to live our lives of faith here in the world we face. There is no such thing as being too young or too old or too poor or too busy or too infirm to put our faith into action. Any reason, any excuse that we might have can be overcome if we prioritize our faith and invite God to transform our lives. No poor people dying at your gate? Don't worry. God sees opportunities for you to live out your faith somewhere in your life. No food to spare? Don't worry. God sees opportunities for you. Too busy with work and kids? Don't worry. God sees opportunities for you. It is only our lack of imagination that stops us from seeing and realizing all the opportunities that surround us all the time to live into our faith more deeply. In baptism, we are asked, "Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?" And we answer, We will, with God's help. Well, friends, I don't know about you, but this is a huge challenge in my life. There is no day that goes by when I couldn't take at least one next step on this journey, when I couldn't cry out for God's help just a little more often. Seek and serve Christ in all persons? That's a lot of people. And who is my neighbor? Everyone. Loving everyone equally to how I love myself. It's not that I'm uninformed. It's not that I don't have opportunities. It's that it's hard and it's scary. And for some reason, I keep trying to do it on my own. But God doesn't need us to do it on our own. God just needs us to be willing to try. God will be there with us every step of the way, coaxing and encouraging us, and ready to celebrate with us when we reach that next plateau in the journey. God stands by, ready to help, waiting for us to reach out our hands to His and take that next shaky step. All of us live lives that are confusing, complicated, compromised, and sometimes downright complacent. All of us have days, years, or even decades when we say, I won't, not even with God's help. But God keeps calling to us because God has a vision for us and for our lives and for the lives of every one of God's children, all the people on this planet, and for the plants and animals and for creation itself. God has a vision. And God aspires for each and every one of us to be part of that vision, to take our place at the great banquet of celebration in which everyone and everything will be equally welcome. And God calls us to be a part of bringing that vision into being. And so, friends, being fully informed, let us say yes to God's help and find our opportunities to act. Amen.